still true, that Jesus still saves. You'll find mercy when you call his name. There's still power in the blood flowing from Calvary's crucified Son. Grace is still deeper than the stain. He can still make you free again. All that we know our God can do, it's still true.
People in the world today seem to have a lot to say. It's hard to tell what's right from what is wrong. In a world of blatant lies, it is hard for us to find the truth we need to keep our faith secure. But there are still some things I know for sure.
It's still true that Jesus still saves. You'll find mercy when you call his name. There's still power in the blood flowing from Calvary's crucified Son. Grace is still deeper than the stain. He can still make you free again. All that we know our God can do, it's still true.
Child of God, it's time to stand and send our light across this land to share God's message with the dying world. No more blowing in the wind. You gotta know what you're believing in. It doesn't matter what this world may say. We're anchored in God's promise anyway.
It's still true. Jesus still saves. You'll find mercy when you call his name. There's still power in the blood flowing from Calvary's crucified Son. Grace is still deeper than the stain. He can still make you free again. All that we know our God can do, it's still true. All that we know our God can do, it's still true.
And so here Paul was saying, as you always obeyed, not only when I'm there, but also when I'm not there, you followed the word of God. You followed the truth. This is working out your own salvation. So giving diligence, we see not only the work of a divine nature, but also there's the work of a devoted Christian. And so the Bible says that we are to add to our faith. Our faith speaks of our foundation. That is the eternal life that we have in Jesus, a new nature. We are a new creation in Christ. We are to add to that foundation. So not only does it require diligence, but we see the development in our Christian life. And this is for everyone. This is for the pastor. This is for you. This is for young and old. No matter if you've been a Christian for 1 month or if you've been a Christian for 50 years, this is important for you, the development of our Christian life. Now, I had the opportunity to, how many have ever water skied in their life? If you've water skied, put up your hand. All right. I water skied when I was a teenager. And I'm not very good at it. I realize that. I'm not very good at it at all. But one thing that I really learned about water skiing is that you got to keep moving. Because when you stop, you sink. And that's an important principle for water skiing. When you stop, you sink. You got to keep moving to tread the water. And this is what the Bible is teaching us in the Christian life. You got to keep moving. You got to keep adding to your faith, because we find out what happens when we stop. We find the result of a Christian that is stale. We find the result of a Christian that is no longer moving forward in their development or working out their own salvation or obeying the word of God or moving forward in their Christian life. So the Bible says in verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So each of these are building blocks within the Christian life, and they build onto each other, and they're interconnected together as you think of each of these, brotherly kindness and charity and patience. All of these are interconnected with each other. But the Bible teaches us that we are to add to our salvation these important areas to our life. Now, let's go through them. Number one, there's purposeful living. The Bible says here that we are to add to our foundation, our salvation, our faith, virtue. Now, the word virtue means excellence. The word virtue would be a word that they would use to speak of a field that yielded much fruit. They would say that this was a field of virtue. It had fulfilled its purpose in producing the fruit in which it was set out to do. And so the Bible teaches us that we are to be a purposeful people. We are to add to our life this moral excellence, this virtue, this purpose in our life. The reality is when David came to fight Goliath, David kept his feet moving. He moved forward in the Christian life. Why? Because he said, is there not a cause? There's purpose to this. We are Israel. We have a purpose. We're to show all the heathen nations that we serve the true God, the real God. And that when he came to Goliath, he said, you're going to die today. And the nations around us are going to know that Israel serves the true God, that there's a God in Israel. The reality is that David had a purpose. And we are to live our life for virtue, for purpose. The difference between a purpose given and a purpose applied is the fact that we are moving forward in that purpose. God has given us a purpose. Look what the Bible says. Let's look at it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It's a real easy verse to memorize and a really great principle for our life when we think about purposeful living. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever we do in our life, we are to do to the glory of God. Add virtue to your life, moral excellence, purpose to your life. Whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Purposeful living. Number two, practical living. The word knowledge there, practical intelligence, practical knowledge, or practical insight. It means knowing what to do in the situations of life that we go through. It is practical in its definition. It's a day-to-day knowledge that sees situations and knows how to handle them. Now, when you think of the believers that Peter is talking to, they're going through a difficult time. They're persecuted. They're going through a trial of their faith. Peter makes it very clear. And in order to respond right, where do we get that wisdom? We get that wisdom from the Word of God. You know, we hiding God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him. And so knowledge, wisdom is found in the scripture. But it's not just knowing the scripture, it's following the scripture. There are so many biblical principles that will help us to make decisions. So many biblical principles that will help us to follow after this wisdom that we find in the word of God. God's word is a light onto our feet. It's a light to show us the pathway. The Bible says this in James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among him? Show out of a good conversation. The word conversation means our life, how we live our life, how we act, how we react in the circumstances of our life. And so the Bible says, let us show out of a good conversation his words with meekness of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So this is important for our life as a Christian. We are to add to our life this biblical wisdom and knowledge to help us and guide us and direct us. And then we find peaceful living. This is temperance. Now, temperance is self-control. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to give you just a quick principle about temperance. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I think it's understandable. I think we all understand that we're in a race. The Bible teaches us we have to run the race that's set before us. Hebrews teaches us that. And we are to run to win the race. We want to receive the crown, receive the reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, there's a biblical principle here. It says in verse 25, "And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things." Now he's not talking about a Christian here. He's talking about the world, and he's talking about in the Roman Olympic Games. He's talking about them running for mastery, running a race, or doing an Olympic sport for a gold medal. And he's saying that there's one characteristic of every athlete that is serious about winning. There's one characteristic in every athlete's life. If they want to win the gold, if they want to be successful, there is one characteristic in all of their lives, and that is temperance. They are temperate. They have self-control in all things. I remember one Olympic U.S. swimmer. They were all going out one night with their friends, and some people were rowdy, partying, and they asked the Olympic swimmer to join in, and he says, "I can't." He says, "Others may." This is what his coach taught him. "Others may, I may not." Because the reality is that he learned if he's going to win gold, then he is going to have to be temperate. He's going to have self-control if he's going to be successful in the race that he's going to run. Now, the Bible makes it clear that they do it for a worldly or temporal reason. It says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They do all of these things. They are temperate in all things so that they can win something that's going to fade away, something that has no eternal value whatsoever. But we do it so that we can win an incorruptible crown, eternal glory, an eternal crown. We find in this passage of Scripture that the Christian life takes temperance. God teaches us this over and over and over again. People say, "Well, I just couldn't help myself." We need to be temperate in all things, the Bible says, if we're going to be successful in the Christian life. And so Peter says, you know what? Add to your Christian life temperance, self-control, so important. Then think about a patient living, not only peaceful living, but patient living, long-suffering. The word long-suffering means endurance. It is an active word. It means to push through. And in the context, we understand why Peter mentioned it. It is because we need to add to our faith perseverance in tough times, perseverance in hard times. And these believers were going through difficult times in their life. And so teaches us that we need to keep being faithful to God. Tough times comes, we need long suffering. Difficulties come, we need long suffering. We need to add to our faith this long suffering, because let me remind you, tough times will come, difficulties will come, and there'll always be an opportunity to quit. There'll always be an opportunity to give up. And so the Bible says, hey, listen, add to your faith long suffering, push these times. James chapter 5, verse 7. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain." So I want to remind you and encourage you this morning, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep trusting God. Keep following his word. It may not make sense today, but it will make sense. Just keep on trusting God. God doesn't lie. God knows what he's doing, and he loves you. Keep your eyes on him. Patient living. Then there's pious living, godliness. The word godliness is the idea to live in reverence or awe of God. And I think that if we need revival today, in our day, in our society, even within the Christian church, if we need revival, it is revival in our view of God, in our perception of God. And the Bible says that we need to look to God in every circumstance of our life. As we live our life, remember, God, if you're a Christian, God is there. He indwells you. The Spirit of God indwells you. And so as we walk with God and as we work for God, we need to remember that God is always there. And so add to your life this pious living, this godliness, and then add to your life polite living. He says here, kindness and charity. Now, the Bible doesn't just use the word kindness. It uses the expression brotherly kindness. This is kindness that really a special love that exists between brothers and sisters within a loving family. Brothers and sisters that cherish each other. They might fight for a moment, I know my sister and I, we had some good fights, but I'd stick up for her because I loved her. And this is this brotherly kindness. This is this love that a family has. And Peter said, add to your faith this brotherly kindness, this charity, this wonderful love. And so the Bible teaches us there's the divine nature of God. We are born again. It's God's working in our life. But then we have to add to our faith these areas to our life. There's the divine work, the work of a divine nature. There's the work of a divine Christian. But I want us to think about this as we close this message, the witness of a dynamic Christian. Now look what the Bible says again in our text in chapter 1 in verse number 8 here. It says, for if these things be in you. Now he just gave us a wonderful list here. If these things be in you and abound, the word there abound means to overflow, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this word knowledge here is not just a head knowledge, but an experienced knowledge. There's some things that you may know about, and there's other things that you know because you've experienced those things. Right? You can read a book and you could have knowledge, or you could have lived circumstances in your life and you could say, listen, I know all about that because I've lived through it. We can read about World War II, but I don't have knowledge about World War II, this type of knowledge, because I've never experienced it. Everything that I know about it is either on a screen or in a book. That's the knowledge that I have. That's not the knowledge that Peter's talking about. Peter's talking about knowing, as Paul said, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable on is walking with God and having that dynamic relationship with him. And this knowing is this experience of walking with God. And so the Bible says, if these things are abounding in you, then you're not going to be barren or unfruitful in this relationship with the Lord Jesus, this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse number 9, it says, but he that lacketh these things cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So first of all, there's the fruitful Christian. Now progress is the way to more progress. You know, if you're going to grow, then you need to take the steps. We learn him as we live with him and for him. Let me say that again. We learn him as we live with him and for him. And we grow. We add to our faith. And the Lord, he's working in our life. And as we submit to the Spirit of God, these things are going to abound in our life. And the Bible says that when a Christian is surrendered to the Spirit of God as he works, then the Bible says that he begins to grow. And he's not going to be barren. He's not going to be unfruitful. But God is going to be seen in his life every day. I love the hymn that we sing. To Jesus every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the gold and purple dawn. He's all my fancy pictures in my fairest dreams and more. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. I made the conclusion in my own life that if Jesus is not sweeter today, then yesterday was a waste of a day. We need to grow in our walk with God, adding to our faith, building upon our faith, virtue, knowledge, patience, kindness, charity, godliness. Keep on abounding in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. So this is a Christian that is moving forward. By the way, right relationships are expressed outwardly. People are going to see that in your life. That cannot be hidden. When someone is walking with God, That cannot be concealed. It's going to be seen in someone's life. But then there's a fading Christian in verse number 9. Look what it says in our text, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, Peter describes a Christian that is not, like I said, on water skis. You're not moving forward. If you stop, you sink. Here's a Christian that's not moving forward. Here's a Christian that's stale. Here's a Christian that's just kind of maybe living in the past. This is what I used to do. This is how I used to live. But, you know, they're not doing that anymore. They're not moving forward anymore. The Bible describes this type of person. First of all, verse 9, the Bible says they're blind. They cannot see afar off. It means they're short-sighted. They're living for today. They're living for the moment. But they're not living for eternity. They're not living for the world to come. Someone said to see things only as they appear at the moment and to be unable to take a long view of things, to have our eyes so fixed upon earth that we may never think of the things beyond. If we don't have suffering and we give up in trial, it means we cannot see past the trial. And sometimes we cannot see past the trial. We can't see beyond that trial. So do you know what we do? We look onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know that God can see past that trial. And God will see us past that trial. But someone who doesn't have long suffering, someone who gives up, someone who quits within that race, the Bible says they're blind. They cannot see past that trial. They are living for the moment and they are not living for eternity. They're blind. But also the Bible says they have forgotten. They have forgotten. It's a powerful expression that we find. Is it possible to be a Christian and forget that your sins are washed away? Is it possible for a Christian to forget that Jesus has set them free? Is it possible to live for yourself and to forget that Jesus Christ is their solid rock, that they would stop building upon their faith? The Bible says it is. The Bible says that they have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He had forgotten that Jesus Christ had given him a new life and a new nature, and that he has victory in Christ. On a flight to Chicago, a pilot announced that the takeoff had been postponed due to mechanical failure. And later, the flight attendant announced that everyone who was heading for Chicago was to remain on the plane. Forgetting that the intercom was still on, the pilot was overheard in the background and said, "Whoops." That you never want to hear your pilot say, "Whoops." You never want to hear your surgeon say, "Whoops." He said, "Whoops." A minute later, the pilot headed down the aisle toward the rear exit ramp with a hat on his hand, and with his hat in his hand and his briefcase in the other hand. And one of the pastors saw the pilot and asked, "Where are you going?" The pilot told him in a low voice, "I'm going to Denver." And the passenger replied, "Well, isn't this plane going to Chicago? Isn't this plane not going to Denver? Isn't it going to Chicago?" And the pilot with a red face said, "Yeah, I know, I'm on the wrong plane." And the reality is, listen, friend, this world is not our home. We're just passing through, and we're living for eternity. The Bible says it's someone who doesn't add to their faith, someone who's not growing and developing the Christian life, working out their own salvation with fear and trembling, a desire to please God, giving diligence and care to the Christian life and the race that is set before them. Listen, doubts will come to a Christian that isn't progressing. Doubts will come to those who have stopped adding to their faith. They're blind. They're unfruitful. Peter said, add to your faith. Add to your faith. There's a divine nature. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's working in our life. And then we have to give diligence to add to our faith, to move forward for our Christian life. And the Bible teaches us a Christian that is not moving forward. The Bible says they're blind and they're unfruitful in the knowledge or the experience of knowing God with God. What about your Christian life today? Are you like Paul? Can you say that I may know him? Is that your desire? God, help us today. Listen, the Lord knows our needs, and the Spirit of God will teach you. Would you do business with the Lord? I think we have some wonderful truths here for our Christian life. There's a divine nature. God is at work in your life. There's a devoted Christian adding to your faith. And friend, listen, God wants us to be dynamic in our relationship with him. God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to move forward. God, help us to make that commitment today that I'm going to be a Christian that's going to add to my faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word and instruction for our lives. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me, you would help each Christian here to add to their faith on a daily basis. I pray if there's an individual here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Heavenly Father, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, that today they would call upon your name and they would receive that wonderful divine nature. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use your word this morning to guide and direct our thoughts. And Lord, I pray that the decisions that we make, this morning would change our eternity. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be excited about our Christian life, this new life. Lord, I pray you'd help us to make these good decisions. Again, we thank you for the time we have together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take our glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.